out of when you do that and husbands and wives greet each other and talk to each other. It's like, you know, it's been a busy week. You know, it's been a busy week when, for the first time this week, you got to greet one another. Hebrews chapter 1, if you have your device or your Bible along with you, first four verses of Hebrews. That just felt good. That vibrated through the whole place. When I said shake hands with your friend, it was like somebody got a drink on, and they were thirsty for a long time. It just, that was good. Thanksgiving is coming, of course. So I've got a few tips for you for the Thanksgiving meal. Jim Davis says that we must not forget our vegetables. So he suggests carrot cake, zucchini bread, and pumpkin pie. Can you say amen? Irma Brombeck says, I come from a family where gravy is considered a beverage. Nicole Hollander gives us a tip for the leftovers. She says, wrap your leftovers from Thanksgiving in foil and throw them away. Now, I've talked to you about the meal, the Thanksgiving meal. From now on, we're going to be talking about preparing your Thanksgiving attitude. Probably didn't know you needed one for Thanksgiving, did you? Well, don't rely on the one you normally have. You need a special one for the holidays. We're going to work on your Thanksgiving attitude this morning. This may well be the most unimaginative sermon you've ever heard, and you may well charge me with being lazy by the time I'm done, but I swear this is what God laid on my heart for today. We're simply going to follow the hymn, How Great Thou Art. Hebrews chapter 1, the first four verses read, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Father, we ask you for your help today. We can get a new place setting. We can buy a fine turkey. We can Google a menu for Thanksgiving that is the envy of the neighborhood. But I don't think there's anywhere else we can go for a better attitude of Thanksgiving than to you. We come to you humbly today, and we ask you to adjust us as necessary, that you will be glorified through the likes of us. And we'll thank you for your help here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text articulates the fact that the Lord is the creator, sustainer, redeemer, and inheritor of all things. Now, you've probably heard me use that outline before because it's one of my favorite descriptions of God in all of the scriptures. I often use this outline when I'm worshiping him in my private devotions. I remember that he is the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer, and the inheritor of all things. Now, I'm using it this morning because I see all of these things in the hymn of our study today, How Great Thou Art. The first verse reads this way, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. The gentleman that penned these words was visiting the Cossack Mountains in Russia at the time. And he says that as he was there at night and he saw these stars and then saw a storm running and heard that thunder rumbling, it was as if these words were burned, impressed on his soul. It all came as a complete package. This first verse, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. One of the great errors that we often commit in our modern era is the fact that we don't stop to consider what's going on all around us. God is speaking constantly. We're just very rarely listening. Consider how vast, complex, beautiful is the universe that God has created and maintained. We're far too fascinated by idiotic sitcoms and depressing news reports. Anybody have enough of the news lately? I saw a fellow on I think it was the Today program yesterday morning. He's the last guy left in America who doesn't know who won the election. He has shielded himself. He just decided to go into seclusion, and he just doesn't even care to know who it was that won the election. And the reason was he just got sick of it. He heard so much about it, he just said, I don't care. But I looked up a few facts for you about the universe that maybe you haven't considered for a while. First of all, they tell us that the universe spans a distance of 150 billion light years. 150 billion light years. A light year is the distance a speck of light can travel in a year. Now, to put that in perspective for you, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. We know that from our science class. That is, in 1 second, light can travel around the world, the whole globe, 7.4 times. That's like 24 times. Around the whole world. Now extend that out. How far that can travel in a year. And you come up with 6 trillion miles. Now, this depressed me a little bit when I heard the word trillion, because I thought that our debt is 20 trillion, but that was last week's sermon. 1 year, 6 trillion miles. So if you multiply these things together, the 150 billion light years times the 6 trillion miles, you get a number that is just like ridiculous. It's unthinkable, as far as I'm concerned, how huge we're talking about when we're talking about. Now, to put that in perspective again, the Earth itself has a diameter of just about 8,000 miles. 8,000 miles.
150 billion light years.
If we could have a screen as large as we could see, like IMAX on steroids, you couldn't pick the Earth out. If there was a flea that hopped on the screen, it would be bigger than the Earth would appear in the context of everything that we're talking about. The vastness of what God has created is really unimaginable. The stars in the sky that we see are so far away that when the light started, the light that we see from them, it started light years ago. So the star Vega, which is a fairly bright and close star to us, is 25 light years away. So 25 years ago, the light started from that planet to get to Earth. When you look up at the sky and you say, whoa, 25 years ago. How many know the constellation Orion? You see the three stars in the middle that are pretty bright, and that tells you it's his belt. And well, the star up there on his left shoulder is called Betelgeuse. It's 640 light years away. So the year was about 1370. They didn't have cell phones back then. 1370. The Hundred Years' War was going on between England and France when the light started from that star so that we could look up in the sky, oh yeah, that's Orion. Vastness. Catch this. Although the earth is not flat, the universe is. I don't even understand that, so don't ask me, but that's what they said. I read it in a book, so it must be true. A huge chunk of the universe is made up of things we can't see. See that? No. They know it's there because of stuff, but they can't see it. And then they found out that there's also this thing called dark energy. Because no one knows where in the world it comes from or what it is, but it's moving everything in the universe. And it's an accelerated speed that the galaxies are moving through the universe. I love how stupid scientists are.
I don't know how it got here, man. Boom! Okay, boom. Right, boom down. Boom. I don't know what's making it all go around like it is, but it's really cool. What do you think it could be?
What do you think it could be? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he sustains everything by his powerful word. He speaks and it is. He speaks and it does. What a marvelous God. You ladies will appreciate this. Maybe this is what you want for Christmas. Scientists have discovered a diamond in our galaxy that is 10 million trillion trillion carats. It's larger than Earth. It's larger than Earth. And we thought diamonds were rare. The planet Venus, this is my favorite. The planet Venus rotates so slow, one of its days is longer than one of its years. One of its days is longer than one of its, it rotates so slow. Okay, now I lost some of you for the rest of the service, but a spoonful. Okay, I'll even allow you a tablespoon instead of just a teaspoon. A spoonful of a neutron star weighs 10 billion ton. Oh, excuse me, a billion ton. I exaggerated there a little bit. A billion ton. Boom. With all this that I've described to you, can you tell me what the most complex object in the whole universe is? The human brain. Now catch this. He did all of that, and the only creature that can look at it and say, then sings my soul. There's you and me. The most complex object in the universe, the human. Are we blessed? O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Verse 2, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. When through the woods and forest glades, I wonder, have you taken a hike lately? You really need to. You need to get off of the pavement and out into the woods. You need to get in some green grass. You need to get by some quiet waters or even some rushing water for a little while. Have you taken the scenic route? About a month ago, I was headed over to Gettysburg Rehab to visit one of our folk. And I decided, you know, today I'm not taking Route 15. I'm taking old Route 15. Route 15 is wonderful because it's 70, 75 mile an hour. Wah! You're in Gettysburg. But old Route 15 is not like that. Some people get confused. They drive like that on old Route 15, but it's not created that way. It was about a month ago, and the leaves were just starting to change. So I'm driving, and I'm enjoying, you know, the changing. And then you can see America changing. There was an old service station. The pumps are no longer out in front, and your mind went back to a quieter, gentler time when mom and pop owned the gas station, maybe lived in the back of it, and so on. And you saw little towns that aren't even little towns anymore because there are Walmarts now and, you know, all those kinds of things. But it was sweet just to take the time and do the drive and drink it in. Have you gone the scenic route lately? Maybe Skyline Drive in Virginia? The Northern Lights, the Grand Canyon, the Great White Sand Desert, Yellowstone, Yosemite. Anybody here been to all those things I just mentioned? I know we've got to, yeah. Oh, the Yakes, of course. Yeah, they're in charge of travel. So just ask them, they'll let you know. It's a beautiful world we live in. All great places people go just to look at what they can see of what God has created. I was over in Kids Church a minute ago, and I brought in two pods from a magnolia tree. You can Google that and see what they're like. They're quite fantastic. They kind of look like a tree all themselves. But the thing that really caught me about these things that look like a tree, they have a stem, and then they have a, you know, almost like a an evergreen shape to them, that between the bottom of the stem that falls off the tree and that evergreen shape, there is a checkered pattern in it. And it just looks like somebody, some artist, just tickled in it. And you think about how many magnolia pods have there been since the creation of the world? Most of them never even seen by a human being, but somebody is taking the time to etch a pattern in each and every one, and no two patterns exactly alike. I'm telling you that God can not only go 150 billion light years wide with heavy stars that a spoonful is a billion ton and all this other dark energy and such. He goes tiny and he etches the patterns in. And he's just so marvelous in all of his creation. That's why, you know, I just get a kick out of the stupidity of our scientists that they strain at gnats and they swallow camels, as Jesus would put it. They miss the big point completely. They can't see the forest for the trees. They miss the evidence that is right there. And they can go on the cellular level if they want to, or they can look at the vastness of it all. To me, it screams. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour forth speech. But you don't have to go to a great national park. You don't have to travel around the world to marvel at His majesty. Go to your backyard. Dandelions. Ladybug. No two ladybugs look exactly. You know what a ladybug looks like? No, you don't. They're all different. You haven't met this one. The squirrel on your bird feeder. We have battled squirrels for years on our bird feeders. And the other day I said, hey, Peach, look at that squirrel. Is that the most perfect squirrel you ever saw in your life? He had kind of a red tint to him. I mean, he was huge. We've been feeding him well for a long time. So it was time to admire our work. That's a great squirrel. So now we go up to the window and we look at our squirrel. And you may not believe it, but the other day he was looking in at us. Hey, your feeder's empty. Yo. Every bird. We had a bird that was blind in one eye the other year. You could always tell because his eye, and he looked like he was in a cat fight. But he kept coming back for more food. There was another bird, he had a twisted beak that kind of went funny. But he got enough to eat. He was kind of a skinny bird, but Every bird, every deer, every sloth gets fed. Now, if evolution was true survival of the fittest, explain sloths to me. There's a bear coming. But God provides. I look at the sloth and I think there's hope for me. Thank God. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. He created it all. He sustains it all. He is perfect, sinless, lovely, gentle, and kind enough to provide for all his creatures. Marvelous in and to all he has created. Yet he came to die for you. For me. We are not a speck on a speck, but he knows our name. How many have seen pictures of the earth from outer space? That big blue ball? How many have seen a picture of earth? Were you able to point yourself out? Did you say, oh, there I am? You're not even a speck. I'm not even a speck. That's what it would be like if we're trying to find Earth in the universe. Can't pick it out. Can't pick it out on can't pick it out. That's where you live. Not even a speck on it, not even a speck. And yet, he knows your name. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He hears the rhythm of your heartbeat. And it is different from any other human being on the face of the planet. Wow. How great is our God. He so loved us that he came, he suffered, he died a cruel death in our place. He came to seek us out, to find us, to redeem us. And we were such knuckleheads, we fought against him, we cursed him, we pushed, we blamed him. But he kept coming. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, the altogether lovely one, stepped into time to be nailed to a cross. The Father, the just one, the merciful one, sent his Son. I scarce can take it in. Jesus, the perfect one, us. And the Father said, Son, go. I know what they're going to do to you, Son. But if you will go, they will come. Let's do this for them. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, ha! What joy shall fill my heart! Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. This, of course, is not something we've already experienced or can observe today, but it is our burning hope. One day soon, Jesus Christ himself is coming to take us home. Hallelujah. With a shout, with the sound of a trumpet, he is coming again, and he will catch us up together with him to be in the clouds forever. Jesus Christ himself is coming to take us home. Thus will we ever be with the Lord. No more elections. No more traffic. No more fear or death or worry or stress. He will wipe away every tear, remove every sorrow, and baptize us in utter joy. Hallelujah. So consider all the works his hand has made. Wander through the woods and forest glades. Listen to the birds. Feel the gentle breeze. Think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die to take away our sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have anything, anything at all to be thankful for this morning? Can you think of any reason why you might want to give God praise today? Would you like to sing at the top of your lungs, the top of your toes? How great is our God. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't know about you, but I think I need to sing this song this morning.